This is Jesus here speaking, and he has been going through many different attacks, if you will, coming off the Temple Mount and through the Passover and the different feasts. And the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, have been following him, persecuting him, and doing all they could, or all they were trying to put him to death for blaspheming and whatnot. And throughout all of that, we come across what I think is a very, very beautiful section of Scripture. Verse 9 reads, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Let's pray. Lord, you know all of our hearts right now. You know the thoughts, the struggles, the anxieties. Lord, you know the fears, maybe the different trials that we're going through now. I pray, Lord, for all of us, that you would be our good shepherd, Lord, that you would lead us to those pastures. And I pray tonight, as we sit before your feet, Lord, that you would make yourself so real to us. Lord, that we would see your comforting rod just coming alongside us to direct us to those places that we need to be. So Lord, we come before you with an open heart, with no expectation but to see your face. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, as we read through different sections of Scripture like this, I think we're in danger, or at least I'm in danger, maybe not all of us, of just kind of skimming through a Scripture, skimming through something that, well, it's something that we've heard before. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the bread of life. I'm and on we can read some of these things. And I think it can be dangerous if we don't truly just step back a little bit and say, Lord, what is it that you're really saying through this text? What is it you're saying? Lord, what is your heart? What is it you're speaking to me about? And what I don't ever want to do for myself or for anyone is to kind of blow through Scripture with the assumption that, well, we all know what the door means, what being the good shepherd is for us. I think that's something that we all are probably guilty of. So let's for a moment grab this section and put it into context and kind of get a grips of what I think God is trying to say to us. And before we do that, what I want to do is just take a look at these ideas of the I ams of Christ, which we see throughout all of the book of John. There are seven of them. Here we come across two. I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. As I was reading Ironside, he states this about the I ams of Christ. We notice some time ago, when speaking on the I ams of Christ, that the expression is really a definite, the divine title. Jesus takes that incommunicable name of God and he says, "I am the good shepherd." You see what I love about the I ams of Christ is he's not simply taking the attributes of a good shepherd and applying them to himself. No, he is taking the name and the nature of God. And when he says, "I am," he's putting himself in a place of equality with God. And this is one reason why the Jewish leaders were working so hard to trap him, to have him killed. And this is why they were saying he was blaspheming. And this was just another reason, among other reasons, that they wanted to have him dead. Now, why is the I am so important? Why is that crucial for us as we read through this to understand? If we go all the way back to the book of Exodus, here's what we read. And God said to Moses, this is as Moses is at the burning bush, and as he's as he's talking to God, he's before he goes into the nation of Egypt, he's telling God, how are they going to know who sent me? What's your name? What am I going to call you? And this is God's response. He says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. God says, I'm the existent one. I am everything. So now Jesus clearly takes on these attributes, this nature of God, and he says, I am God. He also, in this section of Scripture, he says, I'm the door, and I am the good shepherd. Well, see, this was not a new idea. The Jews, they understood the Word of God, and throughout all of the Old Testament, God, over and over and over again, attributes himself to being a shepherd to his people. We read different verses, for example, out of the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We read this in the book of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I love that. I'm very fragile. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I need to be led very gentle, that in the way that only a shepherd could. And as we read on in different sections, we read this in Jeremiah the prophet wrote, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. And we read this in Ezekiel. As the shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pastures, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. This idea of God being our good shepherd, God being the door, is nothing new to the Jewish people. I think it can be very foreign to us, though. But it was not foreign to them, because God had been speaking to them throughout history about how he was going to take his people and gather them together, provide for them like the shepherd does, and take care of them, and provide for them and love them. I believe it was only foreign to them, as we'll see in a second, only because they had not taken the truth of God and made it real in their life, or were able to connect what Christ was saying to who God was. Today, on the other hand, our culture as a whole, I don't think we completely know what shepherding is or what a shepherd does. Not to our fault by any means, but I don't think any of you guys are going to go home today and send your son out to the flock and say, boy, can you make sure you're ready and prepared to take the flock out tomorrow morning out of the fold? And I don't imagine that any of you are going to need to leave your son throughout the night blocking this sheepfold. I don't think you're going to have to kind of guess on where the next pastures are going to be. That's just, we don't shepherd. We don't have these sort of things in our culture today. Some of you may be farmers or have goats and have sheep, but their life was very different. Again, these terms are just not synonymous with our working world today. So what I want to do for a moment is I want to look at this idea of what a shepherd does. What's a sheepfold that he's talking about here? Again, it's not something that's very similar to our culture. You see, a sheepfold that he's talking about here is very much like what we would see as a corral in our own farms today. And a shepherd's life, well, it was just that. It was a complete lifestyle, not necessarily just a job. Each day, the shepherds would take their flocks to the best grazing lands that they could find. He would bring their sheep to the still waters and consistently keep them under his care. The shepherd would always be out on the lookout for danger, predators, terrain that the sheep couldn't graze on, or something that was going to cause them to be trapped or be brought to death. The shepherd loved his sheep. The shepherd loves his sheep. And he spent his existence looking after them, loving them, cleaning them, making sure that everything they had for their life was given to them so that they could have the best. At the end of each day, the shepherd would bring their sheep into this sheepfold. It is basically, again, just a big corral that holds sheep. Many different shepherds, actually, in the different areas, they would actually bring all of their sheep together in these great big sheepfolds. So you could have 6 or 7 different shepherds bringing their sheep into this one sheepfold. So you could have hundreds and hundreds of sheep in this one fold. There would be one shepherd, though, that would sit at the opening. And they would stay throughout the night in order to protect the sheep. The sheepfold itself stood 5 to 8 feet tall. Typically, in that day, it was concrete bricks that was stacked up and just made into a circle. Sometimes they would use a cave, but the opening would be maybe that wide, not very big. That would be the sheepfold that they would bring all of their sheep in and out of. And that one shepherd would stay there the entire night. This would ensure their protection. This would also ensure that the sheep couldn't get out and escape throughout or during the evening. In fact, the opening was just big enough for the shepherd to lie across so he could also sleep. And each shepherd, as they dropped off their sheep, they would leave them there and they would go back to their tents and they would sleep there comfortably, as comfortable as you can in a tent. I don't know how that actually works out. Each morning, the shepherd would come back, would call to their sheep, and this, I'm telling you, this is amazing. I watched some videos on how shepherds will actually call their sheep, and the sheep know their master's name and their call. They don't respond to anything else, so you could have a couple hundred different, or a couple hundred sheep in there, and only those who were to go to that master would follow. So he would go and he would call his sheep and those who belonged to him would follow. They knew his voice and they followed him alone. Sheep, on the other hand, well, they're dumb as rocks. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep or if any of you guys are on a farm of any sort or whatnot, but they are really, they're dumb. They are, I find it very, I wish I could say insulting that God refers to us as his sheep. Does that mean, we're not going to get into that. But maybe as we kind of go through some of this, you'll be like, I understand why I'm a sheep of God. You see, sheep will follow each other anywhere, even to death. Without the shepherd, they will simply walk themselves off a cliff. They will move to rushing waters to get a drink of water. They'll walk in and be rushed right down the river to their death. Now, here's the funny thing is the other sheep in that flock will just follow them right along, and you'll have a screaming sheep and then 30 behind them screaming as well, "I'm going with you, man." Dumb as a rock. Are we not the same, though? You know, when I thought about this, it kind of hurts a little bit. Why are we so willing to follow others to death, or being trapped by others to places that lead us to destruction? Well, we're not talking about us, we're talking about sheep. Sheep also have no natural defenses, no sharp teeth. You don't see sheep growling. You don't see them chasing after predators. No, they really have no speed. They have no claws. They are completely reliant on their shepherd for protection, for provision, for guidance. The sheep would die without their shepherd. Is it any wonder that God calls us his sheep? We too have no defenses against the wiles of the devil. We too need to be so reliant on our Lord, our good shepherd, for guidance, for provision, for protection. You know, we're given in the New Testament by Paul the armor of God in Ephesians. How necessary it is for you and I, the Lord's sheep, to wake up every morning and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need you to be my shepherd. Lord, I need to have my mind protected, my heart guarded. I need to have my path lit up. I need to have my feet prepared. You see, these sheep, they were as good as dead without their shepherd. You and I, we too are as good as dead without our good shepherd. This is why we are in need of him. Now, with that understanding, a very brief understanding, I am by no means a shepherd. I am by no means a farmer. I just read a little bit, and so that's what I got for you. And that's just to kind of give you an idea of what it is a good shepherd will do and what a sheepfold is. But I think with that kind of picture in our mind, I think it'll be helpful as we now move forward here. Jesus starts by giving us this picture of what shepherds, or by attributing the shepherd's life to himself. He says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And actually, he starts as he's talking, and we move back in chapter 10, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, I do not think that they were confused because they did not understand what it was to be a shepherd or what it was to be the door or the sheepfold. And I don't necessarily think that they were spiritually blind to the point where they just couldn't understand what it was that Jesus was saying. But they had never put it all together, I don't think, that Jesus, who was coming here to save his people and to be that good shepherd that was promised. Remember, this was their life. For generations, they had been shepherds. For generations, God had been saying, I am your shepherd. They saw it every day, whether they were shepherds or their friends or family members were. And when Jesus talks about this sheepfold, the door, and the good shepherd, they knew what those things were, but they had no idea what it had to do with anything spiritual. When Jesus talked about the door again, they just hadn't put it together. When Jesus said he was the good shepherd, I think they understood what a good shepherd does and who he is. They just didn't know what it meant spiritually. Jesus says, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. What do you think when we read through this and we come to this idea of the door? and going in and out and finding pasture. I can tell you what my first thought was. It was definitely that idea of you open a door, you're walking into heaven, or that quintessential idea that you have opening these beautiful doors, and there it is, the pearly gates of heaven. How many movies have we seen when someone opens a door, there they are, they enter into heaven? But I don't think that that's what Jesus is referring to. I don't know that they had those types of doors. Let me back up again to the sheepfold. Remember, Jesus is using pictures of that day as well as scriptural pictures that they were already familiar with, that were already created so they could understand who Christ was, who he was to you and I. A sheepfold is where the sheep were brought for rest and protection. There was also the one shepherd that would stay at the opening and be the protector for the sheep. Let me read to you a story that Ironside talks about. He says, "You may have heard a little incident told by Dr. Smith. On one occasion, he saw a shepherd leading his flock up a hill. He led them into the fold and made them comfortable. And then Dr. Smith said, 'Do you leave the sheep in the fold all night?' 'Well, yes.' 'But aren't there wild beasts around?' 'Yes.' 'Won't they try to get the sheep?' 'Yes.' 'Well, you have no door here. How can you keep the wild beast out?' But the Arab shepherd lay down on his side, and he settled himself in that way, in that doorway. And he looked up and he smiled and he said, 'I am the door.' You see, no wild beast could ever enter in without waking me, and no one could escape except by going over my body." Wow. That's a good shepherd. That's what a good shepherd does in the sheepfold. These shepherds lay down their life each and every day for their sheep, for their rest, for their protection, for their life. The sheep know their master and they come to his name alone. I don't want us to miss this. Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And I will go in and will go in and out and find pasture." You see, that story that Ironside explains, Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is the one that lays down at that doorway. And I hope you can start to see this in a new light now. Jesus is saying, "I am your good shepherd. The devouring world around you will not be able to destroy you. You're under my care. You're under my protection." I picture our good shepherd as he willingly went as a lamb for the slaughter, dying so that you and I could have life, laying his life down so that you and I could live in abundance. You see, our good shepherd didn't just put his life on the line. He actually died for you and I. You see, Jesus is our door. And now he calls out to you and to me. And he says, "Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I don't know where your life is right now. But I got to tell you, this world is not easy. And I know many times myself, and I'm sure you're not much different, you throw up your arms and say, "I quit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through this situation. I don't want my kids to have to experience this. Lord, I'm finished. I'm done." And then our good shepherd lays down in that doorway. And he says, "You're going to be all right. You're under my protection. You're under my care. Come to me. And I want you to lay down and I want you to find rest. You see, this door that Jesus makes himself to be is such a stronghold, such a fortified force that his sheep, you and I, can lay with confidence that we will never be plucked out of his hands or out of his fold, excuse me. And this is what our good shepherd, I believe, wants for our lives. We read this verse in, read verse 10 of this chapter. And it reads, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." This is one of my favorite verses. And in light of this section in context, it just blows my mind. Our good shepherd desires to give me, a stupid sheep, abundant life. Not just me, but you as well. He desires to give us all that we need, but what I find most amazing is he says, "I want to give it to you in abundance." Not away from the dangers of life. And this is probably one of the hardest things that I think we struggle with. We want the dangers of this world to go away. But they wouldn't be in a sheepfold if they were safe. We aren't taken out of the danger. You see, the world is going to continue to go the direction it is. It's going to get worse. But I believe that fortified wall that God has put up around us is going to be just as strong as it was then and as it will be for you and I now. You see, the shepherd doesn't take his sheep away from the good pastures because it might be dangerous or there might be animals or predators. He doesn't take them to other places and give them water. He brings them to the still waters where the predators will lie in wait. But our good shepherd, he goes before us. And as those beasts, if you will, come to attack, our shepherd, I believe, steps in front of us so that we can endure all things and not be taken out of all things. I believe we'll be able to, on Christ as our rock, and as his spirit is filling our lives, we'll be able to endure all things. And as we throw our arms up, he's going to say, "Thank you. Will you please let me take you now?" And just as that picture of the shepherd taking that lamb and just tossing him over his shoulders, "Come on, let's go, son. Let's go, daughter. I'll carry you through this. Come to me. You're under my care." But it's our choice. He's willing to let us into his flock, into his fold, into his family. If we're willing to enter in through that door, through him, it's the only way that we're going to find this life. It's the only way that we're going to be strengthened in this way. And there will be those that try to get in other ways. We read in verse 1, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." There's only one way into this sheepfold, and it is through Jesus Christ. And we know that there are many, and there will be many, that will come in to deceive and say, "Come on, we can go anyway. It doesn't matter." And Jesus is saying they're robbers and they're thieves. Don't be deceived. It's only through Jesus Christ, it's only through his door, his life, that any of us can find this sheepfold, this rest. "But for his own, he calls them by name." I love this. You and I are known by the creator of all of the universe. We read this in verse 3. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." The creator of the universe. I can't remember my kids' names. The other one with the blonde hair, the curly stuff, go. How often do we do stuff like that? All of these teens, I just give them nicknames. You're red, you're blue, you're Timmy. T Timmy. That's your name. Why Timmy? I don't just, it's what I have. That's what you get. But the creator of all the universe knows us by name. Why? We don't deserve it. We're definitely not worthy of it. We're sheep. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm dumb as a rock, just like a sheep. And here we have the Lord of all creation stepping down and saying, I love you. You're not deserving, you're not worthy, but I know you by name. And he knows you by name. There's a story of a shepherd who talks about his many different sheep, telling how he knows all of his sheep, every one of them, by their name, and also knows them by their personality. He was asked the question, so do you just yell out and they all come follow you? And he says, oh, no. I can't just yell at all of them. You see, this one here, well, this one if I yell at to get her attention, she will hide her head and I will not see her for a week. She's very sensitive. You see, this one here, though, I have to use my rod to kind of prod a little bit to kind of move along. If you just talk to this one, they'll kind of stare at you and she'll keep eating. But sometimes the best way to help her move along is just a little tap, just to encourage. Let's go. Come on, I'm here. And this one here, this one's Tony. I made that name up. Tony, you just have to just talk to. Tony, come on. It's time to go to bed. And Tony's off to bed. This one here just speaks softly and she'll move right along. You see, this is the way our good shepherd, I believe, knows us. He knows our name. But I think more than that, he knows our personalities. As any good shepherd knows their sheep. For some of us, to simply be spoken to, we're not going to listen. For some of us, for me, we need to be prodded a little bit to be moved. Lord, really? It's so early. Do I really? Come on. He smacks me in the head. For some of us, it just takes one mention. It's time to move, and you go. For some, it's like any other sheep. For some, he will call out and follow. But he knows your personality and he knows you each individually. And he comes down, I believe, and stoops at our level. And I believe he sits with us sometimes and just comes alongside us and says, please, just hear my voice. Just follow me. I will give you rest and I will give you peace. And at times, you may need to swat us a little bit with the shepherd's crook, which is never any fun, as some of you may have experienced. But he knows us individually, and he calls us by name. And I want us to see this. God is not just some outside entity who steps back and watches the misery that is going around. He's not an outside God. He's in our life. Every decision and choice we make, he's right there. Every place we go, he's next to us as we walk down the different paths we take, whether we are choosing him or not choosing him. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. God is willing to go down to hell with us because he loves us. If you have children or if you have nephews or nieces, you know the love that you have for them. And you know as they're in danger, as they're in need, you're going to be right there next to them, grabbing their hand just as God wants to do for us, and holding their hand, saying, please come with me. And if you have stubborn children, you know, sometimes you're going to have to pull. You know, sometimes you're going to have to beg and plead. But sometimes you're just going to have to let them choose. And this is what God does for us as a perfect father, as a good shepherd. He follows us on every path we take, willing to lead and direct, but also willing to let us choose for ourselves whom it is we will serve. This is our good shepherd. Think for a moment about that picture of the sheep or the sheep herd, especially those ancient ones. There's always that shepherd nearby. The shepherd lives to take care of his sheep. He brings them to the green pastures so they can eat healthy. He brings them to the still waters or these calm, safe places to drink. He brings them to wells if there are no streams, and he gives them water. He protects them, even putting his life in danger so that they may live. This is what our Lord does for us as our good shepherd. He leads us to still waters so that we can have living water. He does this so we can lie down in peace as the world is raging around us, so we can be confident that his Holy Spirit will carry us through. He gives us the bread of life so that we can be sustained through every trial, so that we can be confident in the things of Christ, so that we can know that our good shepherd will be our strength. And so long as we are in his fold, we are in his protection and in his care. And we will be able to endure the chaos that's around us. I don't know about you, but it's crazy. It doesn't seem fair at times, the things and situations we see that happen around us. God, it doesn't make sense. And he says, I'm sorry. It's the world that we live in. It's evil. But I'm here to keep you safe. I'm here to carry you through these things. The Lord will be our shepherd if we're willing to say, Lord, I will enter in. He will gather us, and he will lead us, and he'll be our strength. You see, we are no different than those sheep. When we stand on our own, when we think with that thought of, I have this under control, this will be no problem, I'll take care of this, I will fix it, I will come to you, we fail, we fall. We have no strength. We have nothing. We have no hope aside from Christ. We are not much different than these sheep. And we have a good shepherd that is willing to carry us through. And we'll be more than just his sheep. We are his children. We are his sons and daughters, and he will gather us. And he will take care of us. I think of that perfect father, that loving family, a father willing to constantly be there in all situations of the child's life. Our Lord is that perfect father in every sense. Are you finding your life in turmoil, or is it surrounding you? Maybe it is time that you finally enter the fold of Christ. Are you feeling far from the Lord? Let him bring you to that place of comfort and peace, even in a crazy, dying world. You see, the Lord wants us to be free and living in his peace, but it still remains to be our choice. We can follow his lead, or we can go our own direction. You see, it's often our choices, unfortunately, that lead us so far from him. it's often our actions, our thoughts, that keep us from feeling close to him. But remember, it's Jesus, our good shepherd, that says this. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You see, Jesus reminds us that there is nothing greater than when he finds or collects his lost sheep. Maybe tonight you're feeling a little bit lost. Maybe you're feeling alone or in the wilderness. And then maybe it feels like you are far from God. But I assure you, as our good shepherd, as a good shepherd is, he's not far. He's waiting at the door, waiting for you to simply say, let me enter into your promise. Let me enter into your place of rest. I also want to remind you that there will be beasts, if you will, predators, that will come in and try to destroy our lives. Life will not be perfect this side of heaven. That's why he says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus knows that Satan is after each and every one of us. Jesus knows that there will be troubles. But he reminds us that as we stand in him, we will find this abundance, even in impossibilities. Jesus is the only way to this full life. We cannot find this place on our own. You will not see a sheep off to his lonesome, chasing after some lion, beating up some fox somewhere, standing with a great big stick, saying, I finally got this. There are no defense mechanism whatsoever. Just as we, without our good shepherd, have nothing to stand on. But the promises don't stop there in the abundance here in this life. We're promised an eternity with our good shepherd, with our Creator. Heaven. Actually, we're all promised eternity. But where is your destination going to be? Next to the Creator or in hell? All will live forever. But who will you choose to follow? Life will not be perfect. Life will have extreme challenges. You know the reality of what we live in. But our good shepherd will be our protector, will be our provider, and he'll be our comforter. So long as we're willing to follow and enter into his fold. As much as we hurt and are confused and are empty and ask, Lord, where is this provision? Where is this promise? Where is this protection? I love that our Lord is not afraid of any of those questions. I love that he doesn't fear our doubts. I love that he doesn't fear our anger. And I love that he sits back and says, just talk to me. Just call out to me. Just let me be your strength. Let me be your wisdom. Let me be all that you need. Let me be your good shepherd. So tonight, I encourage you, wherever you stand in your life, whatever is going on around you, whether you have the full confidence of Christ or whether you're struggling right now, remember, our good shepherd is not far. He knows you by name. He is the provider, the protector. And as we follow his lead, as we go into his sheepfold, our good shepherd will give us abundant life. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this evening. Lord, and I pray that you would just remind us of the great confidence that we can have in you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would speak to us by name. Lord, that we would hear your voice. Lord, don't let us be so distracted by the things around us. Don't let us be so inundated by the stuff that we miss out on your greatness. Lord, whether there's struggling hearts here, Lord, whether there's anxious hearts here, Lord, I pray that you would reach down and only the way that you can reach down to us. Lord, and you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, that you would come alongside. Lord, and that you would just remind us of your greatness. So, Lord, we give you our hearts and our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would be our good shepherd and that we would also enter in to your sheepfold, that place of rest. I pray this in your name. Amen.